there's a few of us in here today. But since you're here, you might as well praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That nothing calls you to praise the Lord than remembering what the Lord brought you from. And I just want you to take some time to just remember how you were sick, but the Lord showed up. I just want you to remember how you got in trouble that the Lord and your lawyer couldn't get you out of, but the Lord showed up. I just want you to remember how you was having problems in your family. It didn't seem like you found you could get out of the situation. You didn't have nowhere else to go, nobody to understand, but the Lord held you in the midst of it all. I just want you to remember. So there's something on the inside will stir up. While you here, you might as well praise the Lord, because if the Lord helped you then, the Lord can help you later. If he did it then, he could do it later. Has the Lord ever done anything for you? In your midnight hour, he showed up. If you can't say nothing, just raise your hand if the Lord's ever done anything for you. God's good. God's worthy. He can do anything other than fail. They had you sold out. Somebody said, never would have made it. Never would have made it without you, because the Lord showed up. Oh, he was there all along. He just manifested himself so you can see that he was still in control of the situation. Thank the Lord for God's goodness. Thank the Lord for his mercy. I'm going to share with you today out of one of our responsive reading verses coming out of Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 26. Luke 19, verse 26, it speaks to us in this way. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The last couple weeks I've been preaching on, if you're going to grow, you got to be hip. I talked about having home training. I talked about being institutionally ethical. You got to have standards. You got to have the right standards. Today I want to talk about being productive, but I want to talk about it by tagging this sermon, how to multiply what God has already given you. How to multiply what God has already given you. The parable that this verse is taken from can be found in both the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 45 through 51, in the book of Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 11 through 27. But it's told under different circumstances and very detailed in both of these places. In the Matthean text, the context in which this parable is taught was to explain the need to be vigilant in the work of the Lord due to the fact that no one really knows the day or the hour that Jesus will return. The Matthean author drives his point home by telling two parables that describes the mystery of how the kingdom of heaven will really be revealed. The first parable had to do with 10 virgins who were to make preparations for the coming bridegroom. But the Bible describes 5 of the virgins as being foolish and 5 of the virgins being wise, because the foolish ones didn't take enough oil for their lamp to last the course of the night as they waited for the bridegroom. And upon his arrival, the foolish ones who prepared poorly wanted a bailout from those who prepared accurately. But the wise virgins recognized that they only had enough oil for themselves, and if they began to share what little bit they had, then neither they nor them would have enough in the end. I need to tell you today that there are some assignments that are so urgent that you can't let something or someone else cause you to lose focus. In Luke chapter 10, it describes Jesus' instructions to his disciples about how to go into the world, into the field effectively to do mission work in the city. It says that they had to go two by two and not to carry any money with them or valuable personal belongings, not even to stop to speak to anyone along the way. That's because the work was so urgent that if they stopped to talk to everyone they met on the road, they could easily get sidetracked from their mission. And instead of doing God's will, they would just have settled with doing some good deed along the way. In the same text in Luke, Jesus points out that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Amen. That just simply means that you can always find some need that needs to be met, because instead of just doing some random act of kindness, it's better to be in tune to doing the will of the Lord instead of what you think is right. Listen, if you're going to do great work for God's kingdom, then you have to be focused on God and not be preoccupied with just doing a lot of good stuff. Being active isn't the same thing as being productive, and doing church work is not the same thing as doing the work of the church. You can get caught up doing a lot of stuff that God didn't tell you to do, and because it's work in the church, you think that God is pleased. But if God didn't put his seal of approval on it, then all you're really doing is building on sinking sand. But then there are those other folks that just say no to everything under the guise of God didn't tell me to do that. With some things, you don't have to hear directly from God on the subject, because by the very fact that you're his means that there's some things that you should already be doing. Amen goes right there. You can't justify not doing anything real of real value for the Lord by saying, I ain't heard from him yet. Because if that's your excuse for not changing your behavior, changing your attitude, being caught up and engaged in evangelism, then the problem isn't that you hadn't heard from the Lord. The problem is you just ain't listening to him. Let me tell you, to know, if you want to know one way to know if the Lord is speaking to you about some issue, if it's something you think that you can do in your own strength, the chances are it was really your idea to begin with. But even if thinking about doing what you believe God is telling you to do makes your knees knock, makes your voice quiver, gives you some butterflies in your stomach, if you think that what God is telling you to do is outside of your comfort zone and there's no way that it can be done, then chances are the assignment really comes from God. Because if you can do it apart from the Lord, you get all the glory. But if you got to call on his name in order to even think about doing what he's called you to do, it's probably because he's assigned you to it. And when it comes to pass, you won't even think about taking any of the credit of your own, because you know it's only by the grace of the Lord. And I know that this is a hard lesson to learn, and the devil can be so deceptive that it becomes difficult to tell sometimes who's really on the Lord's side. But the enemy of the godly isn't wickedness, but rather it's doing good. You know, wrong is wrong. You got that. You don't have to be convinced about what wickedness is. You understand that. But the confusion comes when you have to choose between several seemingly good things. When no choice you make is a bad choice, that's when the devil can slip in unaware, because the devil has learned that he may not be able to convince you to do all-out wickedness, but he may be able to trick you into doing some lesser good instead of the will of God. That's why you have to be close to the Lord, because sometimes good things can get you off track. Sometimes helping others when you should be caring for yourself can get you off track. Sometimes being focused on somebody else's problems is just a way not to focus on your own problem. But stop letting stuff take your focus off of the Lord. That means some of you will have to learn the art of saying no to people, but finding the strength of saying yes to God. You spend so much time pleasing others and not enough time doing what the Lord said. Not enough time in your preparation that when your blessings come, you won't even be prepared to receive it. This parable about the five foolish virgins and the five wise ones is about being ready for the Lord's return. I don't know about you. I don't know when the Lord will come back, but I want to be ready. I want to do everything that God has assigned me to do before he returns. Don't get caught with your work undone. And I just have a question to ask you today. What has the Lord called you to do? And after you've been convinced that it was the Lord, why haven't you done it? The second parable in the Matthew, and Matthew tells another story to drive this point home of the dangers of being caught with your work undone when the Lord returns. But this time it's not about a man going, but this time it's about a man going out of town, and he put his property into his hands of his servants. One, he gave a large sum of money that equaled 100 years of labor. The second received 40 years of paid money up front. And to the last, he gave the total of 20 years' salary. Then the Bible gives an explanation of why each person was given the amount they received. This parable, like the first, is about how we will be judged in our productivity when Jesus returns. But this text is also about how God gives according to our ability. You have what you need to get you started in doing what God has called you to do, but you need to learn how to increase what God has already blessed you with. Just take a look at the text, for the text reveals to us, upon further examination, that there are some stark similarities between the first parable and the second one. First, when you look at these 10 virgins, all things are alike on the outside, but it's not until you read further that the writer helps us to peep into the character of these virgins, because 5 were wise and then 5 were foolish. How do we know that 5 were wise and then 5 were foolish? Well, that's because the text tells us that the foolish virgins came unprepared and the wise ones came ready to wait. Similarly, when we look at the parable about this man going on a long journey and giving 3 of his servants different denominations of money, we don't find out about their character until we see what they do with what their master had already given them. And based on their ability, did their master give? I have to tell you today that God is not a respecter of person. In his eyes, we all have within us the capacity to do good or to do evil, but we have to make a decision on what we'll do with what God has already given us. Because the truth of the matter is that whatever you have is because God gave it, and he knows what we can handle. The Lord's not wasteful and won't give you something you're not ready for. That's good news today for somebody, so you can stop looking over the fence at the Joneses wishing that you had what they have, because you couldn't handle it anyway. Because if you could, I'm sure you would already have it. Some things you just have to grow into. The Lord has it for you, but he had to put it on layaway until you show that you could grow in some areas. You can't be trusted with the keys to the car until you prove you can drive. You can't be given more responsibility on your job until you prove you can handle the stress at the entry level. The Bible says that each was given according to their ability. Church, I need to tell you today that if we want to multiply what God has given us, then we have to be willing to let the Lord let the Lord stretch us beyond our limits. Some things you can't reach unless you stretch for it. The Lord places some things so high that you just got to stretch for it. And when it comes to doing the Lord's work, not only do you have to stretch, but the Lord got to push you up in the process. But then look at the text, the same parable in the book of Luke, chapter 19. In the book of Luke, this parable was written with a different context in mind. The author of Luke tells us that Jesus actually tells this parable because he was near to Jerusalem, and the people believed that the kingdom of God will come any minute now. Some suppose that Jesus would be their king on earth, but through this parable, Jesus lets them know that the kingdom wouldn't come when they thought it should, but as they waited, they should continue to do the master's will. I have to stop right there and tell you that if you're going to multiply what God has given you, you have to understand that some things just take time. They thought about Jesus. They thought that Jesus would establish his kingdom on earth immediately. But through this parable, he tried to communicate to them that while they were waiting for that day to come, that they should use what he gave them to advance his name on the earth. For the remainder of our time, I just want to talk to you about how to multiply what God has already given you. The first thing you have to do, if you was pay attention to the whole text, is if you want to multiply what God has given you, you have to know who you really work for, because when you know who you really work for, then you know who you really need to please. In both parables, it's the master that gives to his servant to look after his possession while he's away. If you're going to multiply what God has given you, then you got to know who's really in charge. That's important to know who's in charge, because at any time you forget that it was the Lord. Well, I read somewhere that it says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anytime that you forget that it's really the Lord that got you where you are. The Bible says if you forget, the Lord knows how to remind you that it was him that got you there to begin with. Anytime that you think that it was really your education that propelled you to the heights of Ecclesiastia, then you really start getting in trouble. Anytime when you think you look so good and you talk so sweet that really got you in that position, you forgot who's really in control. And the Bible talks about pride comes before a fall. The Lord knows how to shake you up and remind you it's not really your education, though education helps. It's not really how smooth you talk, but it's good to know how to talk to people. It's not really who you know unless we talking about knowing the Lord, because it's God who has all power in his hand. He's King of kings and he's Lord of lords. You got to know who's really in charge. The Lord will take, the Lord will give, and the Lord will take. It's good to know that all good and perfect gifts really come from the God, come from the Lord. Because if you lose anything while serving, Jesus told his disciples that whoever lost houses, brothers or sisters, mothers, our fathers, children, our land for my sake, will receive it back 100-fold plus eternal life. If you lose anything on God's account, then you know who to go to have it replaced. But you have to know who's in charge. But then if you're going to multiply what God has given you, then you must know what its purpose should be used for. You got to know your assignment from the Lord. Just look at the text. The master invested in his servants and told them to engage in a business until I come back. But he didn't give them pocket change to impress the ladies with, nor was it money to go on a shopping spree. In fact, the money was entrusted to the servants, but the money still belonged to the master, and he would come back to see who did what he said do. You won't grow if you won't listen to the master when he gives you instructions about the assignment that he gave you. Oh, you think that he gave you that job so you could just live fly? But if you don't use it for what he said use it for, then the Lord knows how to turn your blessings into a curse. He'll take that thing that once made you happy and cause you to be miserable until you use it for the way the Lord intended it to be used. You better know what your assignment is so that you don't go around abusing God's gift. But then third, if you're going to multiply what God has given you, then you have to use it. You have to learn how to use what you have. And this parable is a bit ambiguous in that it tells of a nobleman that is going away on a journey to receive for himself a kingdom. And he was a nobleman who had access to stuff. He had money and resources at his disposal. But oddly enough, this nobleman called 10 of his servants together and he gave them the equivalent of 2.5 years of pay. Now, it's not totally clear if they either had this pay to work with among them or if they were given the same amount distributed evenly by the nobleman. But at any rate, in comparison with the parable in Matthew, the amount given by the nobleman was small to say the least. And yet it was enough to do something with. What the Bible is saying here is that no matter if you have unspeakable resources or no matter if you have to share with others and go into creative budgeting and spending to accomplish your assignment, no matter if you're the smartest in the room or if you're just marginally intelligent,
No matter what part of town you live in or the pathologies in your community that you have to fight against, God has given you all that you need in order to make it from point A to point B. You just have to know how to use what he gave you. Mama knew how to make a meal stretch no matter how many people needed to be fed around the table. She'll just put a little cornstarch in the meal to thicken it up. She made rules like everybody gets one piece, and after everybody's finished, if you want another, you can have one. But she knew how to make something stretch. You have a hole in your pants where you didn't throw them away. They just became play clothes. And she would take a patch and sew that hole. That's because in order to multiply what God has given you, you have to know how to make some things stretch. And I know in this economy, gas done hit $3.99. Lord help us. LG&E's threatening to raise prices, but God has still given us all that we need. There's this last thing that you need to know if you're going to multiply what God has given you. You got to know who's really in charge. You have to know your assignment. You have to use what God has already given you. But lastly, you have to know that fear of the unknown is not justification or excuse not to multiply what God has already given you. Just take a look at the text. When the nobleman came back from receiving his kingdom, the first man came to him and told him that what he had given him, he multiplied it by 10. And because this servant took what the master gave him and multiplied it by 10, the master gave him a title and called him good and faithful servant, placed him over 10 cities. The second man, when he gave his report, he said that what he had been given, he multiplied by 5. And as the master did for this servant, this first servant, he did for the second one and gave him the title of good and faithful servant, and he placed him over 5 cities. But this third servant didn't turn in an increase of what the master gave him, but rather he told him, I was afraid to invest because of my fear, because of the fear that if I lost what you gave me and didn't turn in something, that you would penalize me for coming with nothing in my hand. But the master wasn't pleased with this lazy servant, and he told him, you could have at least put it in the bank and let it draw some interest. Now, what the Bible is saying here is that if God gave you something, you almost have to work against God in order for it not to grow. If God gave you something, you almost got to work against God for whatever God to give you, not to grow. I know some of y'all are kind of trying to figure this out. How in the world, just because God gave it, it's just going to automatically grow, and I got to cut it down and fight against it and deny it? But the Bible says that one plants, another waters, but it's God that gives the increase. You almost got to fight against God when he gives you the seed and say, I ain't going to plant it. You almost got to fight against God and say, but I ain't going to water it. You almost got to fight against God and say, whatever you gave me, I ain't going to touch it for it not to grow. Because even if it hits rocky ground, sometimes it'll hold some roots. Even if the sun starts beating on it, at least it found its way through the cracks. You almost got to fight against God in order for what he gave you not to grow. And if you don't use what the Lord's given to you, then you just may lose it because the master took what he didn't use and gave it to the servant who had 10. And everyone who would be given, everyone who has more will be given, but to the one who doesn't, that will even be taken away. That's because it was the Lord that gave it. The Lord knows your ability, and he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. If you want to multiply what the Lord gave you, all you really got to do is just trust in the Lord. Oh, I know it sounds good. I know it sounds easy, but sometimes the Lord will tell you to get on out of the boat and walk where there is nothing under your feet. And believe him, if you just stay focused on you, there's going to be some folk that stay in the boat. But if you just stay focused on the Lord, the wind may blow, problems may rise. But if you just stay focused on the Lord, you'll be able to do what other folks said you couldn't do. Because if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Call on out to me, Lord. Step out of the boat and walk on the water. And if I just stay focused on the Lord, I know I can make it from point A to point B. There may be some pathways I gotta walk around, but if I just stay focused on the Lord, I know I can get from point A to point B. If you wanna increase what you got, you gotta use what the Lord's already put in your hand. I know I'm right about it. God's a good God. He can do anything other than fail. He deserves a praise before he shows up, because you know when he shows up, he'll set the whole house in order. Just turn it on over to the Lord. He can do it if you trust him. He can do it if you put your faith in him. You don't have to listen to your naysayer. You know, there's more meat on this bone. Because there were some folks that said, we don't want that king ruling over us. But they didn't understand. He went on a journey to be given a kingdom. But the kingdom wasn't given by the people who didn't want him. The kingdom was given by a high authority. And when the higher authority gave him the kingdom, then he came back and took care of all of his naysayers. You got to be careful who you choose as an enemy, because they just may be a friend of God and you can't win that battle. You may not like them personally, but if the Lord loves them, you better learn how to get over it, because it may just be that one that blesses you. So a message to you today. Do you want to multiply what you already? You got enough. Do you want more in your life? You got enough. You just got to know where it came from and know why he gave it and use what he had, and don't be so scared you can't walk in the name of the Lord. Will you trust him today? Will you trust him with your life today? He makes all the difference. I know you're scared. I know you hear the Lord calling you to do something great, but you're too old. It wouldn't even be your second career, it'd be your fourth one. You scared. I know he's not talking. Don't nobody do what the Lord's calling me to do at my age. I know you think you're too young. I ain't even out of high school yet. But the Lord will use whoever he wants to use. If it's your idea, it's not the Lord anyway. I know you got a whole lot of stuff on your plate and problems to deal with, and you're so crowded with issues of life that you ain't got time to try to do what the Lord. You just holding on so that you don't fall into the hole of the abyss and be forgotten about. Surely the Lord ain't calling on me. I don't even have nothing to offer. But the Lord, he specializes in taking nothing and making something out of it. He sees you as he has made you, and not really as you are. He sees both present, past, present, and future. He already knows the end if you just trust him. He doesn't make any mistakes. Will you trust him today if he's calling on you? Will you trust him today? Will you trust him with your life? You're not in here by mistake. There's a reason why you're here today. Will you trust him? Let us stand as we led in this song. The Lord is calling to you today. He's calling you. He knows you by name. He's calling you. And it's not the first time. And even if you don't walk up here, it won't be the last. But nobody knows the time or the hour. When you may die or he may return, nobody knows. Today is the day. The hour is this hour is the hour. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible said you will be saved. But the Lord won't just save your soul and leave you messed up physically. The Lord will transform you if you stay close to him. He'll do it. But you got to trust him. He'll do it. But you got to trust him with your whole heart. He'll do it. And you'll look in the mirror and you won't even be able to recognize yourself. Because when the Lord puts his hands on you, he'll make you into a new creature. Folks won't recognize you. They may deny that it's really you, but it's because the Lord has brought about a change in your life. He can do it. I know he can. Is there another? Oh, don't be bashful, don't be shy.
With Jesus.